You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Read this morning in Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Well, we're going to try to finish off this morning the teachings leading up to and through the New Covenant. And then next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to go back before the overthrow of the cosmos and begin to look now forward through all the covenants that God made, and the last He is making, of course, is a new covenant. And if you'll turn in your Bible to Isaiah 61, and keeping in mind the reading of the text this morning concerning the Sabbath, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of His vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Verse 6, but ye shall be named the priests of Jehovah, men shall call you ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast. Now I'll turn to Luke chapter 4. This is the first sermon that our Lord preached as He began His ministry in His own hometown, Nazareth. Verse 16. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book. Now go back again to Isaiah 61, verse 2. The last statement in Luke was, now notice, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance. Between that comma and where we are right now is over 2,000 years have passed. The vengeance of God has not fallen. This is one of the great examples of right division. There's not a dot or a tittle in the Bible that does not have meaning. So when you read the scriptures, be sure you read them correctly. In other words, when our Lord opened His ministry, the first thing He said to him, and He closed the book, He said, this scripture is fulfilled this day in your sight. And it goes on to tell about what will happen as a result of His coming. After the vengeance, what? Great glory. And that glory hadn't come. That comma has separated almost 2,000 years already. Now, why? Because at Pentecost, our Lord sent the Holy Spirit down to begin to inform the people, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, what all the saints of the old age had looked forward to, a time when God would set up a kingdom on this planet and would have perfect righteousness here. I want to stop and inject this right now and show you how what liberty you have, and you don't appreciate it. Notice when our Lord sets up the millennial kingdom on this planet, he will rule with a rod of iron. And you won't have a choice as to what day or what you're going to... That Sabbath day will be kept holy. Let that drop on you. And those who do not obey, notice, the rule of iron. To those who do obey, every man will be able to sit under his own vine, and no money is going to disturb you in any way. If anybody should slap you on the side of the cheek, you won't get the second blow off. You don't have to worry about turning the cheek, because judgment will not be deferred. It'll be dealt with just like that. There won't be any Hitlers or Stalins or... I can name some lawyers, I won't do that. But in any case, it will be a rule of iron. Judgment will not. It will be a perfect, righteous government on this planet. Now, true enough, many will obey with a feigned heart, because at the end of the many will realize and shows the rebellion in their heart. But nevertheless, you know, they won't have the liberty. You see, I point this out to you because we take the phrase dispensation of grace very lightly. Now, God, nothing new about grace. It goes back to the first called out man, Abel. And nothing new about that. But as a dispensation, as a way of administration, you and I live in a time that no people on earth have had to have the liberty to use it to the glory of God or to the disrespect of God. We have that liberty. God does not strike us down according to law. We get away with murder. We do. You see, I never killed anybody. You see, God, the law in God's eyes is intense. We've forgotten that. The nation's forgotten that. We are forgotten God in America. Oh, we've got more religion than Carter's got pills. More than we've ever had in all its history. But we don't have true Christianity. Because they don't even understand the time in which we live. Oh, I hear lots of prophecy and all this, but they don't understand it for this reason. The reason I can say that, and without being fearful in what I say, and keep in mind, and I say this in the light of what God has said about what I'm going to say. By your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you shall be condemned. So it's a terrible, frightful thing for me to say things that is untrue. I must give an account of my stewardship. I'm talking very seriously to you this morning, because we're closing down to a time when America doesn't realize it. But unless God intervenes, and I mean intervenes with pure grace, and by sending Elijah back to restore Israel about this great period of time since that comma, if that doesn't happen in the next few years, America is going to have the awfulest blood bias of all history. I mean that. For this reason, where much is given, much is expected. Did you know that the Liberty Bell, the very words of the scripture that I wrote, read this morning in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, are on that bell? Did you know that this nation declared in its beginning that it would recognize the authority of human government? When in the 13th chapter of Romans, it says, the delegated authorities that be are ordained of who? Of God. Now our founding fathers recognized that truth. That's why they put it on the Liberty Bell. The spirit of order from among me. Just what Jesus quoted. Showing their acknowledgement. And today we can't even read the Bible in the school. And I hate to repeat these things, but I wanted to burn in your mind because they mean so much. The Supreme Court of the United States has now officially put its stamp of approval up on a murder of at least 1.5 million babies every year. And we Americans sit here and let them get away with it. When the nation declared in this beginning, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Here's the equality, not the equality they're talking about today. Here's the true equality, that they're imbued with their Creator. Here's what your rights are. God has imbued you as a human being in America with certain rights, not equal except in these three fields. Life, in other words, the government will take your life if you take somebody else's life. It guarantees you. Notice, the government's instituted to secure these rights. That's the purpose of government. In other words, law is negative, beloved. If you do something, the Lord will do something to you. Life, liberty. Nobody can tamper with your liberty. And your liberty starts right here. Ends right there. You can do just about anything unless you bother my... That's where you begin to bother me, hurt me. You got to stop there. See, liberty requires responsibility. Not only that, but property. Property rights are almost a thing of the past. You do not even have due process in many, many lines for property. And that's the very business of human government. The purpose of human government is stated when human government was instituted back in Noah's day. And here's the whole basis of all human government. If a man should shed the blood of another man, his blood should be shed by the community. We've almost done away with that. That's capital punishment. That's the most severe order from God. It isn't a matter how we feel about it, what our experiences are, what is really true. If a man commits murder, God says take his life. That's responsibility. The government really doesn't have any choice. Today, though, if we want rights, what do? We've got to have civil rights. And they got civil rights for everything under the sun. And man has no right except the true right that God gave him. And we're equal in the true rights. We cannot establish rights because man's human nature is as corrupt as hell. There's nothing good about man. Never was, never will be, until it's touched by the life of Jesus Christ. It just can't be anything else. You expect too much from human beings. In fact, God's appraisal of human race is, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Ain't nothing nice about that. That's you. I'm talking to you people. See? Not myself, but you. There's a few exceptions and make the rule, you see what I mean? But that's the way it is. Until we better wake up, because we have a liberty that no people in the world have ever had. When God sets up his government on this planet, and he's going to, it won't be a question, do you want to do this? You won't have that liberty. God said, this is the way it is. You walk in it. And you better walk in it. If you do obey, however, it will be a wonderful life. But you won't have the freedom of choice in that matter. You better appreciate what you got. You see, let me demonstrate again the very problem that they had in the days of our Lord's flesh. There were only two things that hindered Israel's blind, made Israel blind. They did not understand the day of his visitation. And why? Through your traditions, you have made the word of God without effect. The greatest thing that God has written in the Bible addressed to the people of this time, which Paul refers to as a revelation given to him after the close of the book of Acts and called the mystery. 99 Christians, now look at the percentage, 99 Christians out of 100 think you're talking about something mysterious. It's a secret. that God worked out before the overthrow of the cosmos. And the American people, who should be, and had more blessings than any other nation I knew of. Even Israel never had the blessings we had. They don't even know that they've got this private mail addressed to them. They don't even know what it is. Now you tell me that Christians, men filling pulpits, supposed to be the ministers of God, to kick the people in such ignorance that they don't even know what their private mail is. And I can understand why. Because the seminaries, the men that are teaching our young ministers coming out, don't even believe the Bible. There's one sprinkle here and there to make a thing look clean that does, but in the majority they don't believe it. Think about that. I'm asking you to be sober in your mind about that. We have to give an account of our stewardship. Where much is given, much is expected. That's why I say God expected. He knew, of course, but he did still expect it. The nation has been blessed like we were. Would be true, but it isn't. We sold our heritage for a mess of pottage, just like Esau did to Jacob. Never mind that Jacob was a rascal too. The so-called good old guy sold it out for a mess of pottage. You see, let me show you why I can say this honestly and know that unless God intervenes, we are in deep, deep trouble. And I'll show you why. Because men today are not willing to fight for what's right. Why aren't they? Well, I'll tell you the basic truth, how simple it is. When the whores and whoremongers become the role models for our children, when the Supreme Court of the United States would not allow the Bible to be taught in the schools, and when you don't allow Christianity in schools, you only have two other choices. One is Marxism or humanism. The whole generation is growing up are being brainwashed constantly, every day, every way. They don't know. And liberty is doing your thing, you know what I mean? That's not liberty, but that's a license to spit in God's face. He's given you all the rights and more than you deserve. You know why they won't go to fight today? Who are they be fighting for? For Wall Street sets up there with their pencils and plays the stock market. And look how crazy that thing's going. People are becoming millionaires overnight on paper. One day that bubble's going to break. And we don't have the morality anymore. Even in the Depression of 29, there was still enough morality in this country to hold it together. But we don't have it today. Who's going to go to war for Wall Street? Who's going to go to war for Hollywood? Who's going to go to war for these football heroes, these baseball heroes? Is that what you die for? You don't die for that. You've got to have a conviction of principles that God sets up. We better appreciate the liberty. We've got a little time left. We better make provisions in our own life, beginning right here. It isn't going to make much difference to me one way or the other, because if something doesn't happen in the next 3 years, I won't be here anyhow, so it doesn't mean a million difference. But I'll tell you this, I have nothing to fear. Because I have a God who laid down his life for me. And he came to offer a new covenant to his ancient people. And the Gentiles were sharing it through them. And they nailed him to a tree. And that nation was primarily responsible. The Gentiles were responsible too, but primarily it was the Jewish nation that was responsible. And in Acts 28, when he set that nation aside, they'd been low enemy. That means not my people. They're in that state of unbelief today. Why? Because God dropped a curtain over their eyes. And let me say this, if you've got some Jewish friends, you owe them an obligation because that curtain is over their eyes. And all kind of rationale, reasoning with them won't get you to first base. But if you begin to pray for that saint, see, God has got to energize that man before he can believe. And that God is not dealing with him as a nation. And you have an obligation because one thing that you can say about the nation of Israel, they gave us the Ark of God, and they were faithful in the way they preserved it. They went to the most unlimited ways to give it to us. And so we owe that to the Jew. But at the same time, there's a lot of curses came from them too. See, you've got to have a balance in these things. You've got to deal with a Jew as an individual just like anybody else. But today they're not his people. But if we're kind to them wherever they are, in spite of that, God promises a blessing to the Gentile. See? On the one hand, he set them aside. On the other hand, they're still his only chosen seed. Remember that. We Gentile dogs share because of God's grace. That's the only reason, not because of any other obligation. Just the sovereign grace of God is the only reason you have any hope at all. Most people don't realize this, but the first 11 chapters of the Old Testament deal with over half of the history of the Old Testament. From the call of Abraham in chapter 12 until you come to the close of the book in Isaiah is 1600 years. But from Genesis 1, Adam to Genesis 12 is 2,000 years. And all that from Abraham on, the subject matter is the nation of Israel, not us. The only Gentile in that context is as he comes in contact with the nation of Israel. Now our Lord, in reading these scriptures from Luke chapter 4, as we read earlier, and he's reading and quoting from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. As far as if you'd have been a Jew in that day when Jesus read that in that auditorium that morning, what would you be expecting? The glorious kingdom after the vengeance of God had come down on the nations. That's what you'd been expecting. Something happened. Now, if that something that happened has deferred all this, is where the problem is. Because people read into the things that are our private mail from the old economy. And the Bible says that this secret was never made known. Not hidden in Scripture, but was hidden in God from before the overthrow. Think about that. You don't hear that preached. Why? Because they do not rightly divide the Scripture. But a Jew sitting that morning listening to Jesus in that auditorium, if he overlooked that comma just like America has today, he would come out, what, an unbeliever. It didn't happen at all. Remember, Jesus said, this Scripture is fulfilled in your presence right now. Up to the comma. See? Now that comma, and I could take you and demonstrate this to you in 100 different ways in the Bible to show you that people don't read the Bible carefully. And our Lord reminded them this, that every jot and every tittle counts. And they'll exist as long as the heavens and the earth exist. That's a pretty long time. So you ought to appreciate grace. It's an administrative way. And God has held back his wrath. We're living on thin ice, I'll tell you. His grace is still there. If you've got friends that don't know the Lord, God get to pray for them. But if you have saints, Christians who are thinking that they're doing what God wants, you better introduce them to the mystery. That's important. Now, that's the reason we place so much emphasis on the mystery here, because there are some churches still proclaiming the gospel of salvation. In fact, there's a lot of them. But let me inject this, though. A private survey was taken by Gallup of the leading ministers of America, not just a little old barfly like me, but a really top thinking. It was conducted secretly so that the name wouldn't be made public. Did you know that 57% of the ministers behind the platform don't even believe the Word of God, let alone teach it right? And the other percentage never heard the mystery, you know, because they don't study. They don't have time to study. The churches keep the ministers so busy in meetings and attending to this thing and that thing that they don't have time to even study anymore. And that's sad. But that's the way things are. Now, when our Lord, when the new covenant becomes operative, and it will become operative, at that very moment, then in the heart of everyone who receives it, they will be enlightened. God will turn their heart, see, to the truth. They'll be enlightened. They'll be able to understand. You cannot understand the Bible unless God enlightens you. It's not written for human rationale. It's written for spiritual rationale. You must be generated of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus said to John, the simplest thing in the world. Listen, this great teacher in Israel came to Jesus at night. He wanted to get away from the crowd, because you can't talk to anybody in the crowd, you know. You can't do that. A lot of people think he was a coward, and that's why he hid at night. But he wasn't. He wasn't afraid. His life demonstrates it. And he came at night to have a private audience with the Lord. And our Lord, of course, could see him coming. He knew, because he didn't even give him a chance to ask a question. The minute he got there, he says, In the last verse of chapter 2, it says, he did not reveal himself to men because he knew all men. And that the chapter 3 begins with the priest coming to Jesus. And the first thing he said to him, except a man be generated from above, he cannot even see. I'm going to translate that born again, but that's the Greek of it. If God doesn't generate, so you're not going to do anything anyway. That's why you need to pray for the individual lost. You know that's a prayer that God is pleasing. You need to pray for the saint who needs to get his eyes open to the mystery. You know those two. Those are two prayers that you can know that God will be pleased with. And he said, you know, unless a man is generated above, he can't even see the kingdom. There's no way. So a man in the street without that is hopeless. But that's where our job comes in, as a witness. Witness either to salvation or to the private mail. There's only two. And to do any job well, you have to be pretty well submitted to it. You can't cover the field. And it's certainly not going to please everybody. But you're not there to please people. You know, there, as Paul said, I never didn't receive anything from man. I received it from God, you know. And God has left us his word here. It's complete. Paul says so in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, that this mystery has completed the word of God. So a person who doesn't understand the mystery or doesn't know anything about it, he doesn't have a complete Bible to work with anymore. That's the condition of things. I do thank God, though, the one prophecy that's given to the Apostle Paul in the second chapter of Timothy, the first eight verses, verse four, chapter 4, the first eight verses tell of the condition of this whole world right this minute. And it's as fresh as the headlines on your newspaper and the televisions that you listen to every night, all them lies. But the next verse, verse 9, tells us that when he does intervene, their folly will be exposed to all. And let me say this, when God intervenes, all these people who have been holding down, suppressing the truth, will not meet a great, they won't meet a God in grace. They'll meet a God in righteousness. And that just about includes the whole professional world. Think about that. And that, who is it? Who was it that gave our Lord so much trouble in the days of his flesh? The whole professional world. You had the little people that bothered him. So they heard him gladly. If you want to know something, you get a presidential commission. All these big wigs come down, they have an investigation, and they have a consensus of opinion. And the highest vote is what they got. You don't vote truth, brother. Let's come now to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You understand, I'm just giving you high water marks. You've got to fill in these things by your own work. Chapter 3 and verse 6. Paul speaking not only himself, but the other apostles as well. He has made us able ministers of what? The new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. He goes on to compare the new covenant with the old there, and showing how much more glorious the new is. Because it will enable men to carry out the righteousness that's set forth in the old covenant. Keep in mind that every man that has a part in that millennial kingdom will be a Sabbath keeper. There won't be no question about that. Whether he's a Jew or a Gentile. We just read that in the text this morning. You won't have a choice in that matter. Now, as long as God was dealing with Israel, because that's who the new covenant is addressed to, read carefully if you haven't read. By this time, you should have. We've talked about it enough. The last part of the eighth chapter of Hebrews. That new covenant is addressed to nobody except Israel and Judah. And the Gentiles pick it up today and go out and say, this is ours. It isn't yours. It is written that thou shalt not steal. We become thieves. We're stealing Israel's property. See? Now turn to first chapter of Colossians. Remember, before the close of Acts, that the Corinthian letter was written in that time period. They were able ministers of what? New covenant. Turn, if you will, now to first chapter of Colossians and the second chapter of First Peter. In the old covenant, you remember in the 19th chapter of Acts, he said, if you will obey my voice and keep the covenant, then, notice the two key words, if, then, you shall be unto me a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Now, we read that Paul is preaching what? The new covenant, as well as the apostles. But when we come to Colossians and chapter 1, and why people can't see this, I don't know. You couldn't be any plainer about it. Verse 25, I am made a minister according to dispensation of God. Verse 26, even the mystery. What dispensation is he talking about? The mystery. Which has been hid from the ages and from generations, But, here's one of those buts. But now, underscore the word but now, is made manifest to his what? To the world? No, to the saints. Even the mystery which had been hid from the ages and from generations. That's the mystery. That body of truth that's now addressed to the nations, and the Gentiles are the keepers of it. Before Acts, it was salvation is of the Jews. Now, salvation is what? Among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles. You see, the source has changed. Instead of that, we pick up and try to keep the new covenant. See, the administration of one thing cannot be the other, or vice versa, either way. We have to realize it. Why? Because God was in Christ, notice, reconciling what? The world. That's not any race. That is a statement made ahead of time, see. So that when the mystery was revealed, they'd understand what he's talking about. It was not just Israel. Salvation, now, mind you. The instrument of salvation was the Jew, all right, but it was for the whole world. Today, a new man is in existence. A brand new creation. Something unusual. Why? Because we do not come through Israel anymore. Because Christ is what? All and in all. For there's no such thing as a Greek or a Jew or a barbarian, a Scythian, a bond, and a free. But what? Christ is all and in all. That's us. And it's 12 o'clock. Next week, Lord willing, you see, the reason why we're going to stop here on New Covenant is because when the New Covenant was set aside, a secret truth came into being, interposed. The New Covenant still waits the time ahead to be operating. So what we're going to do next week, we're going to start before the overthrow. We're going to take each covenant in its order as it comes right on up to us, and then we'll begin to deal with the new covenant as it becomes operative, what it is. And the beautiful thing is that this time, this parenthesis that we live in is a calling with a different inheritance than the new covenant or the old one. And in my opinion, our inheritance far outweighs any other promise of God. Now, the people that are under the old or new covenant, the promises they get, they'll say the same thing. They'll be happy with it, whatever it is. We're at a time like, you remember in the 21st chapter of John, Jesus has just asked Peter if he loved him. And three times, you remember, Peter said, "You know I do, you know I do, you know I do." He said, "Go feed my sheep." And Peter, of course, he's always got his foot in his mouth. And he turned around and he said, "What's John going to do?" And I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, "Don't you worry about John. You just go do what you're told." Now, that's where we are. We shouldn't worry because these other guys are ignorant about this, but we should tend their own bidding. God will take care of them. But in order to enlighten people, you have to show the distinction. See? To the man that never sees the mystery, that's a Christian, don't worry about him. God will take care of him in his right place. But his inheritance evidently won't be mine. It'll be different. He has to steal that property. We don't have to steal it. It's ours. Father, thank you again for this wonderful fellowship in your word that makes us bold without fear or favor, because you've done it all. And we're now complete in Christ. We don't need anything but him. And we do thank you for that, Lord. that we've been chosen from before the overthrow of the world to be placed as sons of God, not just servants, but sons. Lord, help us to appreciate the liberty that we have in this and how we abuse it. And we're so sorry for that, and yet we are sorry, and you know we're sorry. You know how sorry we are. And we thank you for His grace. God, bring these thoughts into the heart of those who are receptive today, that it may be a part of their living personality.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.